This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
We are an international family ourselves. We have four adult TCKs. They are 23 to 28. One of our children is adopted, a daughter from Somalia. She came into our family when she was one. And our oldest daughter got recently married to an Australian whose father is Chinese. So we have quite a mixture already in our small little family. Well, the topic family under fire, rather than elaborating on the possible risks and potential fire starters for family under fire, I actually prefer to take the coal out of the fire before the fire gets too big and out of control. So I will more look at how we can minimize these potential fires, how we can prevent fires to get out of control so that families live not so much under that danger of being burned up. My main purpose is also to sensitize us all to the fact that children who live overseas have tremendous blessings and enrichments, but also many losses. And so today I will really focus more on the losses, because I think we are aware of the enrichment. And I think we all agree that the family really is a central matter for God. It's a pillar to the social system and a nest which we have to prepare for the kids, so they can really have a secure foundation. I think the family is supposed to be a shelter and a launching pad for the kids to move into independency. So all that is connected with loss and change and transition and all the new things, we are aware of that. But to prepare people for that nowadays, that's the crucial point. And when I think back in 82, we went to Somalia, and we didn't even fill a paper, as far as I remember. We even bought our own tickets, and we landed in Mogadishu. And 2 days later, the people who were there before left. And we were there with our two little kids. What do we do now? We had to find our own language teacher. What kind of food was available? We went through a lot of sickness, trials, temptations. It was a very fast learning curve. And it drew us very close to God and made us very dependent on him. And I think we became very resilient through that. But I think this should not be an excuse to say, well, maybe we can continue to do it that way. Because I think one advantage we had, and I think of my husband and me, is that we actually were from a different generation. We still grew up fairly, I don't know what the right word is, but more balanced. We didn't have all the IT, all the media, all the internet, the mobiles. Our life was fairly calm still at that time. We didn't even have a phone, so there was no outside communication. So we were very focused on our task, which was a tremendous challenge, but at least we didn't have all the rest of it. And we came from a fairly stable background. I mean, there was loss and traumas in our families too, but still compared to today, it was fairly stable. Although it was non-Christian, and we both are still the first Christians in our families. So the real first risk factor of a family under fire is really the potential co-workers. These are, I think, the background risks for families under fire. I think there's an increasing number of potential co-workers who come from dysfunctional families. There is more psychological illness, divorce, violence, also in Christian homes. So the psychological effects we see actually in potential co-workers is much more than they used to be. Then potential co-workers have been more exposed or have been involved in other religious belief systems. So many have been exposed to the Eastern cults. Have they really been set free from that? What are they carrying with them into the field? So many suffer from a deprivation syndrome. The lack of love they have experienced, affection, security, various abuse, also sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. There are many co-workers out there who have gone through abuse. And so their emotional maturity and personality is affected by that. And we can see that. And we have an overload through the media, the TV, the video, the computer games, that leads to a mental overstimulation and a lack of concentration. And people get also, because of that, more and more isolated. And they lack the social competence. In November, when I was in Kabul again, I was just struck by the fact that there are many, many young, wonderful, gifted workers out there who actually, apart from their project, spend 3 to 6 hours a day on the internet chatting with their people at home. They are actually not connecting anymore. They are not there anymore. They are actually living in two worlds out there, living back home and living there to do the job. But not really getting into people's lives, because it's difficult, it's a challenge. And internet is an easy escape. Maybe they need it because they have even never really unhooked from back home. So how do we prepare people to go overseas? When we look at that, these lacks are not automatically healed when they go overseas. So it's a tremendous challenge for the organizations who send them out, for the receiving teams, and for the families themselves, how to handle these issues on the field. Even I think if people have grown up fairly healthy, there is still a need for reflection and concerning the price that needs to be paid in going overseas.
This feature is a presentation of MemberCare Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.